live for up in Sandpoint is this cresting of spring, right? We're almost there. On the 21st, we'll actually hit it on the calendar. But welcome. My name is Lindy Lewis, and you're listening to Let Your Color Out Life, where I interview people in our community that are pursuing their passion and purpose and have gone through some sort of challenge or typically go through challenges. And this is just an opportunity to inspire you or empower you if you're on the edge or trying to reinvent. This is just an opportunity for you to take that time. So welcome, Brandon. Today I get to talk with Brandon Brock, and he is the owner of Longshot. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Lindy. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you took this afternoon off. It's so pretty. It's hard to be inside.
Yeah.
Especially when we've all been kind of cooped up, not just with COVID, but just, you know, winters here can be long sometimes. So
yeah, springtime in Sandpoint's beautiful.
Yeah. So gosh, you know, I think those of you in Sandpoint who have not been to the Longshot, it is this amazing, I grew up in Sandpoint, born and raised here, and it used to be like a rifle shop or range or something. I don't remember much as a kid, but it's right across from Dubs. What was it?
Yeah, it was most recently prior to the Longshot, it was Renko Arms, which is a gun store.
Oh, right.
Renko Arms relocated to Pend'Oreille, just north of kind of Pend'Oreille on the left-hand side there. Prior to that, it was Sports Plus, which was a sporting goods store. And then prior to that, it served as a train depot. It was a feed and grain store.
Is it on the historical landmark?
I don't believe it is.
Gosh, it could be.
It could be. It was built in 1925.
You've done such a beautiful job remodeling it.
Thank you.
And bringing it back to some of its original look.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I looked at it as a gem that just needed to be polished up a bit.
I love that. So being a local, a lot of times it's difficult for us to embrace, you know, people moving into our beautiful little tiny town. But people who really honor the land and the area, it sounds like that's what you did when you introduced the Longshot, or when you brought that back to life.
Yeah, and I was very sensitive to that. It's something that I continue to think a lot about. Some of my closest friends here in Sandpoint are Sandpoint natives, and families are Sandpoint natives and have a long lineage of history here in Sandpoint. It's something that I care a lot about. I think kind of continuing the culture that a lot of people here have built over time is something that's important to me. And I mean, naturally, I embrace change. I embrace kind of flexibility. And so being an outsider, that's you know, not a surprise, I'm sure, because, you know, I've gone through a lot of change myself. And coming here, I'm hoping that people embrace the perspective that I have. I think a lot about Sandpoint's culture, the way the Longshot interacts with it, the way I, as a participant in the community, interact with it. And try to preserve the things that I think are what makes Sandpoint so great, which are the arts, the diverse perspective, and
the
beautiful
nature.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I love that, you know, it was a railroad depot because, you know, this was a railroad town. I used to sell real estate, and I'd have people kind of have a problem with the train. I said, gosh, you know what? Then this is not your fit.
Yeah.
You need to go to a different cute town, because yeah, Sandpoint, it's a railroad town. That's where it started, mills and railroad. And so, I mean, the fact that you brought that back to life, and you've done a great job. But enough about the Longshot. I think you've done a great job restoring that. Beautiful. Like it is. It's a gem. It's one of those old brick buildings in Sandpoint that just needed to be honored and just brought some love back to it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about you. You, like you say, you came to Sandpoint 10 or 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And what got you here? And I know you had quite an interesting corporate career. So I always like to get into the change and the transition that encouraged this brave move.
Yeah. So shocker. I'm from California.
What?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I know, I'm one of the few here.
Just a few. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I grew up in the Bay Area. Both my parents are Californians, and their parents are Californians. So we have a history of living in California. In 2004, I was in college, and my parents retired and sold the home that I grew up in and moved to Hayden, Idaho. And they had spent a lot of time kind of exploring what was next for them. And from my perspective, it was quite random that they had landed on Hayden. It was not something that was on my radar ever as a kid. We had never come to Idaho. In fact, I couldn't tell you where Idaho was on a map.
Yeah,
even
sure.
From California.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It just was something that was not really something I thought a lot about was the Pacific Northwest. To my surprise, North Idaho was beautiful and not flat and full of potatoes, but like full of mountains and lakes, and had a very similar climate to Lake Tahoe, which I grew up just adoring.
Okay.
So,
it does.
Yeah, it was, it felt like a more rich version of Tahoe. Tahoe feels like a very much a second home destination for a lot of people. There's not a lot of infrastructure there for business and stuff, but outside of like travel and tourism. But I was really, intrigued by the fact that Sandpoint had Lighthouse and they had Coldwater Creek and they had all these businesses that were at least national brands, in some cases global brands, born and raised here in Sandpoint. I thought was remarkable. I had never really been exposed to anything like that. Mm-hmm. I was always exposed to just the big kind of Northern California, Silicon Valley experience. So fast forward to 2013, I was at an inflection point in my own career working in tech in Silicon Valley and was talking to my mom about what may be next for me at the Thanksgiving dinner table here in Hayden. And she suggested I look at real estate up in Sandpoint. And I had skied Schweitzer and I had thought the Long Bridge was remarkable. But I really didn't know much about Sandpoint aside from the Long Bridge, mm-hmm. driving down First Ave on the way to Schweitzer and skiing Schweitzer, which I thought was all remarkable. But I had no real sense of what this community was all about. So I was reluctant to look at real estate, but because I was bored, I went online, looked at home prices, looked at the landscape of the market looked like then. And I was shocked to find some really appealing things. And so I could be very impulsive.
But real quick, before you even did that, so what were you doing down in California?
Yeah, so I had worked at Facebook from early 2007 till the middle of 2011. And then I moved to Australia for a year to kind of reinvent myself and figure out what passions looked like for me.
So Facebook wasn't your passion?
It was not my passion, no. I think I learned a lot there and I made great friendships. I learned more than I could have at any other job. I think it was
a good time to be there. It was grassroots startup. Wasn't that about the time it was really starting to take off?
It was. I think Facebook as a product launched in February of 2004, but it took several years to really become a company, a mm-hmm, business.
Mm-hmm. Most startups do.
Yep, totally.
Yeah, that's part of just putting your time in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was 3 years until I joined basically when Facebook was 3 years old. And I was about the 200th employee and we were in downtown Palo Alto, which sits about 45 minutes, 60 minutes south of San Francisco and was the neighboring town to where I grew up. I grew up in Menlo Park, California.
Oh, okay.
So I basically went back home to work for Facebook and working there was remarkable. I mean, I think a lot of people think about it. When I first moved to Sandpoint, my neighbors, for some reason, thought that I may have been like influential in the start of Facebook, which couldn't be further from the truth. But people think of, I think, early Facebook employees, they associate directly with that being a big lottery ticket. But I think more than anything, for me, working there was the most juiced up MBA I could have ever
absolutely
wished for.
Like on the job training,
totally
school of hard knocks.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. And we worked a lot, but I met incredible people. It really changed my perspective of the world and the way I think about problem solving and I think about collaboration. And it really kind of matured me in so many ways beyond just the work that I was doing. So I'm forever grateful and appreciative to my time spent there. And I've created lifelong friendships out of my time there.
How long was the period that
you did? It was about 4.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you decided to just hard right out of Facebook because...
Well, it doesn't sound like that long. Like to my parents, as an example, they worked, their career consisted of 40
years.
It's
a new generation, though. Yeah. I mean, I get that. It's a different day.
Yeah.
Even my generation, you stay with a career. And I see younger generations really jumping. It's kind of where their interests lie.
There's a lot of pivoting. I think, I think the businesses in Silicon Valley and probably beyond now, think of hiring and the career arc of their employees differently than they would have 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. One of the things that's baked into the incentive process of being an employee at a tech startup is your equity grant. And the way equity grants typically work are that they have a 4-year vesting schedule. And so from the day you start and then 4 years later, you're vesting equity in that company. And that's essentially stock in that company. And at the end of the 4 years, you've fully vested your stock. And there's this, I mean, there's little refreshers and it gets nuanced, but for the most part, you basically earn all of your kind of big equity
your vested
piece.
Interest.
Yeah. And now you're just making your salary. And so you basically take a pay cut at the end of 4 years because you're not making that same level of compensation that you were for the first four. So that I think is intentionally done like that so that it kind of mutually maximizes the learning curve and the benefits of the employee and the business. I think that there's studies that show after 4 years, you have diminishing returns as a productive employee. And then the business has, diminishing returns is extracting kind of the upside of you as an employee. So 4 years seems to be the sweet spot in terms of maximizing your
production. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Well, fascinating. Thank you for giving. Sorry, we got a little off on a tangent, but I found that very interesting. So, again, for those of you who just joined our show, we are listening to Brandon Brock, who within the last 5 years, did the long shot and turned that into this beautiful coffee wine house, and now serving some great menu items. And I'm going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll get into a little bit more of Brandon's story. And thank you for listening to Let Your Color Out Life.
Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty is locally owned and operated, and now with two locations on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry and downtown on Main Street to better serve the community. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home in 2021, think local. Call Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty for a free market analysis today. 208-267-8575. Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry and downtown on Main Street. Coldwell Banker. That's the power of blue.
Idaho Public Television provides free over-the-air TV to nearly 100% of all Idahoans. And with the free PBS app, you have 6 different options to watch programming that educates, entertains, and inspires. Show your support during Festival February 26th through March 14th. Your generous donation will provide you and your Gem State neighbors free access to exceptional programming now and in the future.
Jim and Sunny from Parker Subaru, cruising North Idaho in a new Subaru Crosstrek. Is an excursion up a dirt trail for some weekend camping sound appealing? The off-road ready Subaru Crosstrek could be for you. It's the compact crossover with the sweet budget price. You'll find control, handling, and confidence when off-road, back trail, or in winter storms because the Subaru symmetrical all-wheel drive system delivers. In the Northwest, that's important.
With a Subaru Crosstrek from Parker Subaru, the story just gets better. For fuel economy, it's a champ at 34 miles per gallon. For safety, it has anti-locking brakes, blind spot detection, and even eyesight. So come to the Subaru A Lot to Love event and start your journey down a road where the adventures, trust, and value last. Now, for a limited time, get a great deal on the Subaru you love.
Cruise in and finish your research with a hands-on test drive. Get all the answers at your no-problem Parker Subaru, Highway 95 in Coeur d'Alene.
The Pet Patrol and Trading Post can now be found at our website, NorthIdahoRadio.com. If you have lost or have found an animal, just log on to NorthIdahoRadio.com and click on the Pet Patrol tab. The Trading Post, brought to you by Co-op Gas and Supply, is also available to view and post on our web outlet. The Pet Patrol and Trading Post, a service of North Idaho's radio, KSPT-KBFI, and online at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. You can always find people who are helping. Thank you to all the first responders who put their lives in danger to help us when my brothers and sisters need them. We look out for the helpers because they look out for us.
Thank you, first responders!
Thank you, first responders!
Learn how you can help first responders by texting BRAVE to 24365.
KBFI. KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
This is no mistake, no accident. When you think the final man is
Hello and welcome back. Okay, you're listening to Let Your Color Out Life with Lindy Lewis, and I am again very happy to have the owner of Long Shot in the studio with me today. And it just, you know, there's many people moving to our community and bringing some really, you know, again, I'm a native, so I tend to resist a lot of change, and because I love our environment, I love our beautiful area. But what I do appreciate, the people that I found moving here in Brandon is certainly no exception to this. But they bring a fun perspective. They have also this sort of sense of appreciation of the area, and also bringing some fun ideas for industry. I, you know, being raised here, there was a lot of times my dad was a veterinarian, and you know, he'd have to work in Coeur d'Alene and pay the bills. You know, he'd work down there and send money home to buy the house. And so it's neat to see that now we're making this more of a sustainable community with people like yourself bringing jobs and industry and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that needs to be highlighted more and more here in the community, to allow people to explore creative ideas, passions, and then turn those into profitable passions, which I think is kind of the recipe for success for an entrepreneur.
I think it is. And I think also just the idea of sometimes you got to just keep trying things. You know, it doesn't always, you know, entrepreneurship. I mean, what's your experience there? I mean, it is not always, there's no guidebook, kind of like parenting. It's
yeah.
just like you just throw some things out and pretty soon they start to unravel. What would you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, for me, entrepreneur, I've gone through a lot. You know, I've referred to myself as an entrepreneur in the past. I don't shy away from that today, but I wouldn't label myself as an entrepreneur today. Probably because I've had so many failures that I don't like to think of myself as an entrepreneur when nothing is succeeding. It's more like I'm an idea guy. And what I've found over time is that ideas are very easy and cheap, and execution and bring an idea to successful fruition is the hard part. And that, I think, in the crux of what your lead up to that was that you just have to constantly be testing and trying and hope that you're staying organized and following what basically the results of your tests are showing you, and then hopefully getting to a point where you're still passionate about the project and it starts to become profitable, so that that profit can then propel the passion forward and you can kind of reinvest in making all the hopes and dreams that you have and your mission statement come to life in a grander, greater way. And you can employ more people and you can work on a larger problem together.
Absolutely. Gosh, you said so many things there that I would love to touch on. But the first I'm going to just ask, because again, you know, I've had my own, I call it the alphapreneur of writing the books of the alpha female and this type A personality and having to just learn to unwind the mind, and we've hatched underground kindness and all of these different things. But it is hard sometimes to maintain energy. Tell me how you deal, like the you know, to once your ideas, because it takes so much work, like you say, to actually, the ideas are the easy part. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, truly, like for me, the writing of the books, that, believe it or not, was the easy part. Now getting it into the world is the difficult challenge. And I would imagine from what you just said that that's some of your, you had a nice way of saying it. It's like the grit, really.
Yeah. This is a huge challenge of entrepreneurship. And I think that people should not make the mistake of thinking that because you're working on an idea or a creative idea, and even that you have a team around you, that kind of allows you to label yourself as an entrepreneur, because it feels like then you've achieved the goal of what you're going for. You've labeled yourself as such, and then therefore, I'm an entrepreneur. That means, I don't know, in my mind, that has, there's an overlap with success inferred in that. And
in entrepreneur, the word, yes, it actually has a success sort of attached to it.
Yes, and I think that's dangerous, because there's a lot of failures. Entrepreneurship, more times than not, results in failure.
100%.
And the energy question that you're asking about is an important one. How you can muster up the energy to continue trying and reinventing yourself, or even, we use the term iteration, which is just essentially the idea of little tweaks to iterate and make a change and go in a different direction. Kind of more subtle direction than a full pivot.
I call that morphing my ideas. Yep, like I'm constantly
exactly.
morphing.
Yep.
You know, it's like, okay, well, that was, it's a great concept, but I've got to kind of finesse it a bit.
Exactly. Okay. And that's important, I think. But the energy part of that is the most important, because that's the real, like, the power that powers, hopefully, the goal, which is, I think, profitable passion, needs to have a lot of energy behind it. And so it's tough. It's a tough question to ask. I have a lot of highs and I have a lot of lows. And I don't know how I get through them. It's just kind of, I let time heal these things. And when I'm low, I try to just have a greater perspective of what the overall mission or goals are. And then when I'm high, you know, there was something that I heard from someone I respect very much in leadership before, which was that you're never as good as someone says your credit is, and you're never as bad as someone says you are. You're somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get a lot of people complimenting you on how great you are. You're probably not as great as the compliments are, and you're going to get people saying that you're not as good as you probably are. And it's important just to try and keep that perspective, that you just stay on the train, you try and improve every day. As Derek Jeter said, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You just don't stay the same.
Yeah.
And so waking up with trying to remember that, trying to have a fresh perspective to say, like, today's an opportunity to get better or get worse, and it's up to you to choose. It's really hard, but...
it is hard. And I it's interesting. I would be curious if you have an opinion on this, that the true entrepreneur in this really creative brain, which... it sounds like you and I definitely both have, like, you could definitely have the highs and the lows, but it's just constantly, you're just constantly having to move. You have to constantly stay in motion and find things to, that drives your interest. Does that make sense? That's my question. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
These creative ideas feed me, essentially.
Yeah. And it's important. Yeah. I think you and I are probably very similar in that way. And it's important to surround yourself with people. I think for me, it's really important to surround myself with people who are more grounded. And
hi, JC.
And who, and kind of, you can filter these ideas through and can synthesize this and make them into actionable things. I try to be a partner in those things, because I realize that sometimes I can just be, I'm very impulsive, and that comes with just, like, my mind is working very quickly to think how to solve problems and how to do things. And that can, when that comes across in a team environment, it can be very unsettling to everyone.
It's like a bull in a china shop, isn't it? Yeah. I was raised by one of those, but man, has he created great stuff. You know, my dad has that, you know, just that's the drive but that's the creative mind. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I love it. I wouldn't trade the way I think about my life and the things I want to do for anything, but I really, really thrive when I'm surrounded by a team of people who help me, like, focus, and create prioritization and understand what the single mission is and try and not deviate from that, because I have just a fun idea on the side. Cause I can just, I can get, distracted quite easily. And that isn't good for overall success. So, I've got, like, at the long shot as example, Tanner Welsh, who's our beverage director and also a very good friend of mine, local Sandpoint native, does that for me. I've recently hired a new events director, Riley Beck, who I think we've been kind of working together for the last month. I'm very excited about her coming on, helping us guide events. And I think she's a very grounded, kind of goal-oriented person who can help me focus. And she's also very creative. So the collaboration piece is crucial, and you're only as strong as the team you have around you, in entrepreneurship. And that's an important thing to remember for me, is that I need to make sure I'm working as a collaborative member of a team, and that my ideas aren't derailing the overall mission that we have as a group.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Well said. And I think, you know, that we're only as strong as our team is so true on so many levels. Okay, well, we're going to take a short break, and when I come back, we'll get more into this, the aspect of what got him to hatch the long shot and what he's doing next. Thanks so much for listening.
Happy 26th anniversary to you, because Kootenai Casino is going to give one lucky person a winning spin at 26 grand on our 26th anniversary. Qualify all March long at Kootenai Casino for a shot at the grand prize jackpot of $26,000. We'll also have midweek hot spins, weekend Plinko, and free giveaways. But if you come for the winning, you might as well stay for the food and relaxation. Springs Restaurant will offer four special lunch or dinner specials for just $11 each, or get 30% off our March spa special, a deep cleanse facial, and a 50-minute custom massage for just $109. And don't forget, Kootenai Falls Lodge weekday room rates are just $59, and weekends are just $99. Celebrate our 26th anniversary and get your shot at the $26,000 grand prize spin. To book a Kootenai Casino getaway, call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
Welcome back to the Raptors. I'm Roy, he's Stan. We're from Triple Play over in North Idaho.
Hey, I have some news. I got my new phone today.
Wouldn't that be... breaking news?
Okay, funny guy. Not bad, Roy, not bad.
Seriously, how many phones have you broken at this point?
You know, 3 or 4 dozen or so.
How does one dinosaur break that many phones?
Accidentally kicking it into the wave pool, losing it in the dark on XD Dark Ride, watching it tumble into the water at mini golf, unintentionally crushing it while bowling.
I'd say I can't believe it, but I can. I totally can.
Do you have pockets? I don't either.
The Raptors are brought to you by Triple Play, where you can bowl, play laser tag, climb a ropes course, and splash around in Raptor Reef Indoor Water Park. Plus, it's all attached to a cozy hotel. Visit 3play.com.
I gotta show you this funny picture of my phone.
And score another for the wave pool.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint is now hiring in all departments. Great jobs starting at $12 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net. Super One Foods continues to go to great lengths to keep their customers safe with constant cleaning and other safety measures. For your convenience, try their shop online service. Just place your order online and set the time for pickup. Your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to your car. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
Just in at Pro-X Home Center, seeds. It's time to think about planting, and Pro-X has what you need to get started. Stop in today for a wide selection of fertilizers from Jonathan Green, soils from Black Gold, seed starting kits, garden tools, pots, and more. Get a jump on the season with a four-shelf mini greenhouse, a 40% savings at just $29.97, but only while supplies last. Pro-X Home Center, just north of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown everything store.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
This is no mistake, no accident. When you think the final man is in, think again. Don't be surprised, I will still rise.
I will still rise. I do love that song. And I think we were just having the greatest conversation about entrepreneurship. And again, you're listening to Let Your Color Out Living. I'm Lindy Lewis, and my guest today is Brandon Brock, and he has the Long Shot Cafe and Wine Bar in Sandpoint. And let's carry on that conversation we were just having about the defining entrepreneurship, because I think that that's a great conversation. Tell us your opinion of what actually an entrepreneur is, and then the pressure that maybe comes along with that title.
Yeah, I mean, when you tell someone, if I were to tell my parents I'm an entrepreneur, or my parents' friends who don't even know me, at like a birthday party, I'm an entrepreneur, I would suppose that the person I'm telling would say, well, what does that mean? And I think that reaction is appropriate. And I think that that is just a response to not having a defined idea of who you are and what you want to do. So just categorizing yourself as an entrepreneur is not enough. And I just think it gets you down a path of self-importance and kind of, it's this like whole world of, you know, what you're trying to put forward, this I'm important identity. That you see a lot on social media, and that we just see emerging with the younger generations. And I think it's something we need to kind of take a pause and look at, just labeling yourself as an entrepreneur when you just think about business specifically. But
I think there's pressure. We were talking, there's also pressure with that label. That packs a big punch.
Yeah. Yeah. It has like this connotation of being important.
Right. Right.
This is a true story. When I, in 2013, I had started my own company, and we had built two little mobile applications for the iPhone. And I worked essentially by myself. I had a development team I was working with in Israel. So I had met them once. So really my team was this scattered, fractured team. I was a team of one. And I was traveling internationally. And at customs, they said, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm an entrepreneur. And the guy just looked at me like, okay, you know, gives me the stamp and I could carry on. And I thought to myself, wow, that's so vague. I can't believe you didn't like drill. I mean, they don't really care, I guess. And if I were to be honest with myself, you know, it had this feeling of like, oh, I'm important. I work in tech. I do, you know, I'm building things that change the way the world works.
Making businesses.
Yeah. And the reality was, I'm a struggling app developer who, you know, is on the brink of giving this whole thing up. And so that was a glimpse into like, you know, like basically perception versus reality, and what that term kind of creates. One thing that we had talked during the break a bit about was that in Silicon Valley, entrepreneurship is something that everyone is thinking about. Everyone is wants to be an entrepreneur and wants to be someone who's creating the next great thing. And there's this funny moment I had back in 2012, I think it was, or 13, where I happened to be sitting in on an investor pitch where someone was developing an emoji keyboard, and they had described the work they were doing as changing the way that mankind communicate. And you're like, are you kidding me? You're talking about just the ability to quickly send emojis to people and that being some profound way that the humans communicate with one another. I don't know that that's a good outcome, if that is the outcome, but just that self-importance and that idea of I'm an entrepreneur, I'm changing the world, one keystroke at a time. Just
it's definitely more, it sounds like, you know, a place of ego versus truly like a humble place of like, gosh, I see a need and I want to fill it.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, but that, there's a real paradox here. That doesn't always sell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's not sexy.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think the sexy thing is just to put in the grunt hard work and get it done.
There is no way around it.
No.
It's just show up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Show up every day. Show up even when you're low, it may not be as productive, but just show up and try to use good language with yourself. That's what I work on. I am working on, you know, with my book series, I mean, working on the language we use with ourselves. So we are not, especially when you are a type A, not so cruel in our own thoughts. You know, it's so easy to just get frustrated with ourselves. And especially in a case like this, you have to have grace.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, as you say these things, a lot of things go through my mind. I mean, confidence is certainly something that to say out loud is kind of funny, but I have a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. My confidence is that, I mean, I have a lot of low moments where I'm disappointed in myself, or moments of depression about, you know, an outcome that has happened, or the direction that the long shot's going, or whatever. But the backbone of my like train of thought is full of confidence and optimism. And I think confidence and optimism kind of like, for me, go hand in hand. I'm an eternal optimist. Even though I see something is not working, I'm optimistic about figuring out a solution.
There's always hope. There's always possibility. Always.
Yeah.
And there's always jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's strange. That kind of brain, it is that sort of entrepreneurial brain. And I like to think of it as maybe a visionary brain too, because there's always possibility.
Yes. There's always a way to improve. There's always a way to figure something out. There's always a problem that you can solve.
But you don't get stuck in the minutia. That's
right.
The thing I think that,
I agree.
You know, as an entrepreneur or, you know, I'm hearing you say that that's not necessarily a term you're ready to own or step into, even though you are to some degree. It's just, but there, you know, I think that is the visionary. You're not stuck in the hows. You just know it's possible.
Yeah.
And you probably experienced that just even with your time at Facebook, you know, like you talk about something that, or even developing your apps.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, for me, at the end of the day, I think everyone should try and find something that they are interested in, whether or not they make a profit or a living off doing that thing. I think it's important to feel mentally engaged with something that is creatively fulfilling. I really like to lean into the idea of that being a concentric circle with profit. So like, I want to find things that I'm really interested in and somehow make a business associated with that. That's typically also how people describe entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. But you know, I don't think that we think of like, there's all sorts of small businesses in North Idaho and all over the US, all over the world. And everyone who owns a small business, I don't think would consider themselves an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's just small business owner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, hard works.
And I like that more. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That just feels like putting I'm rolling up my sleeves. Mm-hmm. I'm not out there pitching myself. Yep, I'm doing it. And people are then seeing the – I'm reaping the benefits of the hard work on the back end without having to like scream from the top of a mountain.
Yeah, that's – yeah, and that's – there was a great quote. I'm probably not quite going to get it, but like, if you have to talk about yourself, it just means nobody else is.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I don't mean, but yeah. I just remember that. It's like, I would rather just know I'm kind of showing up and teaching kids yoga or whatever it is I'm doing. And then
I hope
it's
that's like, not what I'm doing here.
Not at all. No, not at all. No, I'm really appreciative of you coming in. I think entrepreneurship is such an interesting conversation right now, because there is so much room for people to reinvent as the world comes back online.
Yeah.
There's just such an there's so many opportunities. And for me, my root, my cause, my hope is always that people come on with a little more grace, a little more peace and love.
Yes.
You know,
I
that's
love that.
That's just call me Miss Congeniality. Yeah. But I mean, I'm telling you, that's always sort of my hope for this. But
yeah. I thinking about the long shot and how we can provide more inspiration to young folks as they navigate their passions and maybe find an overlap between their passion and a business. That's something that I think we're thinking a lot about.
That's fantastic.
Over the next 3 months.
Well, that'll be great. We're going to take one last break. You're listening to North Idaho Radio, and we will be right back.
Need groceries but don't have time to shop? The folks at Super One in Sandpoint say, save time, shop online. It's easy and convenient. Just go to superonefoods.net, place your order, and set the time that you'd like to pick it up. A Super One personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and will bring them out to you at one of the parking spaces reserved just for online customers. It's that simple. Try it today. Go to superonefoods.net for online shopping for Super One in Sandpoint. Save time, shop online.
Hi, this is Brian Ivey, service manager at Pierce Auto Center in beautiful Sagal, Idaho. Believe it or not, spring's almost here. It's time to inspect your vehicle undercarriage after a long winter. All of our oil changes come with a complimentary vehicle inspection. Pothole season's also here this month. Front end alignments starting at $59.95, transmission services starting at $225. Our certified techs work on all makes and models, including Subaru and Toyota. Call today to schedule an appointment, Pierce Auto Center.
There's only a few days left to save with Bi-Mart's Spring Savings Book that arrived in your mail last week. It's 16 pages packed full of great deals you won't want to miss. From planting bulbs, fertilizer, and more to jumpstart your garden, to kitchen appliances, bed sheets, and towels to freshen up the house, and great deals on Kleenex, laundry detergent, and more. These spring savings are going till March 16th, so get them while they last. Bi-Mart, employee-owned, real value every day.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hey, bud, you got any change?
What for?
Playing Frogger.
Oh, man, I loved Frogger.
Yeah.
So where's the big retro arcade game?
Oh, I just need some coinage to scratch this.
All right, here you go.
Oh, thanks. Okay.
Oh, you've completely lost it.
Actually, I just won.
Really?
Yep.
Play Idaho Lottery's Frogger Scratch Game and win up to 50 grand. Game on.
Woo! Benefiting Idaho Public Schools and Buildings. Play wise.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
This is no mistake, no.
All right, welcome back to the last, gosh, that hour flew by, Brandon. Holy cow, I have had the most engaging hour with Brandon Brock, who has started the long shot over, reinvented the long shot, really, over just across from Dubs Drive-In, if you haven't gone there. I'm going to let him talk a little bit about what they're offering now. But we've had just a really fascinating conversation about entrepreneurship. And, you know, the thing we were really just talking about on this break is how so often you just got to roll your sleeves up, you know, and put the time in. And allow yourself some time and some failures, and then just keep on keeping on. That was one of my favorite quotes too.
Yeah. I think that's the crux of it, is just trying to find optimism throughout lows and trying to roll up, just convince yourself that there's no way out of a problem other than just rolling up your sleeves and getting back to work. And, you know, you've got to be the one to fight yourself out of any low that you find. And by doing that, you'll find the achievements that you're looking for.
Yeah. And then through that, you do, I mean, you said you know, you've got a lot of confidence, but I think it's because you've had that happen time and time again, and you continue to get experience. I mean, confidence comes through practice and experience.
Yeah, I think so. I certainly wasn't born with a lot of confidence.
No, I don't think most of our youngers are.
Yeah. You just have to get out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to accept. I mean, I didn't want to accept failure. And would not put myself in situations where failure was clearly even an option. I think a good example of this was, you know, when you jump into a pool of coworkers like I did at Facebook, you're looking around the room and everyone has graduated from Stanford or Harvard. So they're all incredibly high achievers. And you get to talking to them and you're like, I see why they're high achievers. They're incredibly intelligent. The way they think about the world is just kind of next level. And I'd say the first year or two of me working at Facebook was just a lot of being a wallflower who listened. Mm-hmm. I was very much afraid to voice my own opinion, to even have an identity. But as I kind of gained experience, I just learned so much by listening and by being a part of conversations that I slowly started to draw my own confidence. And then, you know, that was 13 years ago was when I started. So it's been a long journey from me now. And over that 13 years, I've slowly gained a lot of confidence in the world.
I like what you're saying though about listening. Yeah. I think there's so much to be learned just by listening and observing.
Yeah.
That place of observation is so powerful because you can just take it all in. And I talk about reflection versus reaction, you know, and it's really easy to react, especially when you're fast brain and we've got lots of great ideas and they're just fluid flowing. But that place of observation and reflection, you know, can just really inspire that confidence. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, I know that.
It for me, it helped me rewire my impulses.
Yes, exactly. Well said. Yes.
And that's been great, I think. I fight that battle all the time about impulsive and cutting people off in the middle of their sentence. And these are things that I'm continuing to try and work on. But I think confidence is found. Yeah.
I understand that because sometimes I'm like, wait, I just got to get this out. Yeah. Especially if you're on this show, there's so many things I'm like, I want to grab it. But if I didn't want to interrupt you because what you were saying was so good. But I'm like, if I didn't jump in there, I'd forget it. And I did. But we found other things to talk about today. So it was great. Well, we're winding down our hour. Is there any great wisdom you just want to offer? Like what's a great one of your favorite quotes maybe, or a mantra or something that you just, you know, like I've thrown out, keep on keeping on's been one of mine, or, you know, just coming from that, I call them my humbling blocks, I'm learning and failing forward, you know, but anything you'd like to offer our audience out there in North Idaho?
Yeah, I would say I don't have like a succinct mantra that comes to mind, but what I was kind of saying before the last break that I'd like to quickly pick up on is that I know there are a lot of people in this community who have a lot of great ideas but are afraid to start or don't know how to start. Mm. A good concrete example of this is a friend of mine several years ago who's an avid trail runner, and they found that their trail running attire really didn't match with what they wanted to be wearing. And so they said, they kind of started wearing tennis dresses on the trail because they felt like all of their running equipment was this male driven world, and they wanted to feel a little bit more playful and fun and feminine as mm-hmm. they were doing these races. And so I said, well, we should change this. We should make a running dress. And I think even saying that out loud to them it paralyzed them. Like, oh, I can't be the one to do this, but Nike should or something.
Got it.
And I want to create a world where here in Sandpoint, where everyone can feel like they can begin to really
dream
and think about their ideas.
Fantastic.
As things that have concrete next steps. So we're going to be starting with a little creative group that meets on Wednesdays once a month at the Long Shot. And we'll post more about that on our social media outlets and talk about it more in our physical space. But it's meant to be a space where people can come, talk about ideas, hear from other people who have been working through their ideas, and just be a collection of creative ideas and how to navigate them and how to get started and how to take things to the next level and stuff like that, so that we can create more of an economic engine for our young folks with great ideas here in Sandpoint, because I think there's a lot of them, and I would love to see them kind of graduating from service level jobs into their own, you know, profitable businesses.
Gosh, yeah, that is fantastic. And also, you'd hold space for them. You'd have this kind of container for them to feel safe to invent a new dress, or, you know, they could feel safe and heard.
Yes. I mean, we would, the goal is to try and supercharge their ideas into reality.
Right, with expertise. And I think one of the things, too, people love to share their wisdom. And I mean, I am always sharing my humbling blocks. I'm like, oh, if you want to write a book, here's how you do it quick. You know, don't it doesn't need to take 7 years. Mm-hmm. Let's get this going, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I think that is outstanding. Well, wonderful. And I think, you know, we're definitely winding down the last bit of our hour. What else are you offering at the Long Shot coming up?
Yeah, sure. So the Long Shot, I think we talk about kind of testing and learning and then making subtle changes, iterations, however you want to refer to it. I think we've been doing that for the last year and a half. And what we found is that most of the people in our community, which is what the Long Shot's built for, is they have been looking for the events that we do. And we do a very kind of broad array of events.
I've certainly enjoyed the events I've attended. So, Brandon, I really want to thank you for joining us today and taking time out. And I will look forward to these Wednesdays. I think I'll even be one of your, whatever we're going to call it, your creative collective.
That would be fantastic.
In your creative collective. I love it. So thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. You're listening to North Idaho Radio. My name is Lindy Lewis, and you're listening to Let Your Color Out Live, just talking to people pursuing passion and purpose.